Auburn Ole Miss. Let's talk about it. Instant reaction show starting now. It shows Alex, a.k.a. Auburn Memes. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Auburn Daily Show, whether it be on the podcast or YouTube. Regardless of where you consume it, we thank you for being here. We encourage everybody who's checking out the show, like, review, subscribe, follow us, socials, check out the website, everything. Helps us out a ton if you like the content. Keep that going. Helps us keep rolling it forward. Now, just like I said on today's episode, just completely raw. Did not put a lot of thought, didn't get a lot of preparation, didn't read too much into it, hadn't listened to any other reaction shows. Wanted this to be just unfiltered, right off the cuff, just very much kind of how I took it without kind of overthinking my opinions out of it. And this is going to sound almost of a goofy way of saying it, but didn't want to come from it too logically. Wanted it to be very, very much organic to maybe encompass a little bit better from what I saw on how everybody else is feeling, with a fine balance of not being overreaction-y about it, but also not trying to get a little almost, sometimes you can kind of talk yourself into thinking that, I'm going to say a very strong word here, but mediocrity is okay. Looking a little too much bigger into the big picture and ignoring what's right in front of us. And honestly, what's going on right in front of us is something this far into the season just can't be ignored. So let's look into this game right here. Auburn Ole Miss. Night game, Jordan Hare had all the makings of a perfect scenario, 21-28 score. Of course, that game was neck and neck right up until the very end, almost going to the fourth quarter. That was a tie game. Ole Miss got it at the last minute there. Wins by one score. So if you look at it at a glance, doesn't look terrible. You look at the team stats, you look at the score, say, oh, Auburn hung in there. Auburn got 275 total yards. Ole Miss got 425. Auburn's passing, if you look at the percentage, doesn't look horrible. I mean, the raw total yards were bad, but the percentages were okay. You could have done away with those two interceptions. But Auburn got some turnovers. Auburn gave some turnovers. A 2-2. Each team gave up an interception. Each team gave up two interceptions. Now, where it did get bad for the second week in a row, and this was going to be a key factor to it, the time of possession was 34:05 Ole Miss, 25:55 Auburn. Another thing, especially at home, you can't do it, especially with how high power that offense is. So a few things that surprised me and a few things that didn't surprise me. Right out of the gate, I would say Ole Miss, now they got the total yards looks good, but they were not just as dominant with the offense that I thought they would be. I thought they would be putting up a lot more on the offensive side. I thought they were going to have no trouble running, really kind of playing at will. I thought it was going to be a shootout game till they decided they were just going to control the clock. That was not the case. Both teams did very, very poorly on third downs. Now, that's been a plague for Auburn for a minute. I don't have Ole Miss's season stats in front of me, so I won't comment on that. But Auburn held them to what they needed to do. The defense did what they needed to do, by and large, to handle this game. Now, the issue is Ole Miss's offense got a lot more opportunities, and because you get a lot more opportunities, of course, what you're going to do, they're going to get more yards. You can't take anything away there. I think that just really goes to show how crazy good LSU's offense was for what they did against Auburn's defense, but you can't complain there. Are there pieces that need to improve and could be better on defense? Absolutely, but they're not potentially last place in the SEC West bad. And unfortunately, this was the narrative nobody wanted to get to, but this is where it's kind of getting at, is Auburn is playing for what will very likely be who will get last place or second to last in Mississippi State next week for the West. Fortunately for Auburn, you're going to play probably the last chance bowl with 2 weeks in a row when you got Vandy and Mississippi State. And, of course, you got Arkansas after that, who is starting to slip away. And I kind of said this a few weeks ago, and I still feel this way, the trajectory they're going. I feel like this team, the Arkansas team, is eventually just going to kind of hang it up and say, all right, we're checking out for the year. Now, the issue that's got to be avoided there is Auburn cannot be on a similar trajectory. And that might be what ends up, you know, could potentially be happening. Just going to say, can't ignore it, might be there. Now, I think the biggest pain point for folks between last year and this year is Auburn's team against an Ole Miss team in Oxford. And I think most people would say from a roster standpoint, I don't think you could argue that the team this year would be any worse than last year's team. Maybe argue it's not much better, but they brought more guys in. There are key improvements, especially on the offensive side, especially the line. The team last year for total yards put up on Ole Miss, Auburn got 441. Now, Ole Miss got nearly 600, but still Auburn got 441 yards of offense on this team last year. Robbie Ashford was 18 for 17 for 140 yards, two interceptions, and he had two rushing touchdowns. And I believe he was 35 yards rushing. I don't have it right in front of me right this second. It's on a different screen. And Tank Bigsby went off last year with 180 yards and two touchdowns. So Auburn started a little slow in that game against Ole Miss, but really got it rolling, especially in the second and third quarter. Kind of talked about that in the recap show previously. So why is it a pain point for people? Well, Ole Miss was ranked number 9 last year when they played him in Oxford. They were ranked 13th this year. So we'll say at worst, this team is pretty much on par for what it was last year. Not a bad team either year. And I guess you just kind of grit your teeth and say, well, a worse Auburn team went into Oxford and performed much better on offense, what is with a much worse coaching staff, so we believe, offensively at least, what gives? And that's kind of what I think where people are really scratching their head, where I'm definitely scratching my head, and that's why I didn't want to get too, you know, dive too deep into the numbers and the narratives and everything like that, because I want it just to be a very much like, I want to ask the questions before we get to answering them, because I know a lot of people are feeling this way. Once again, the quarterback rotation absolutely makes no sense with what they're doing. Made a little joke on Twitter. It feels like they just got a little spinny wheel. They spin it. Oh, it's Peyton Thorne's drive. Oh, it's Robbie Ashford's. Oh, we're just going to rotate him out completely randomly. And the coaching and discipline. I mean, the 12 players on the field stuff, like you're seeing that from Les Miles years he's getting fired. Like you're seeing that. You're not seeing disciplined teams make those mistakes. And then it's just unnecessarily where you're shuffling around Robbie and Ashford for no reason, you get a 12-man penalty. And you still don't even convert what you need. It's just, it doesn't make any sense for why these decisions are getting there. And I think a lot of people were trying to really rest their head on the pillow that this was a talent issue. And while talent is a factor, I think we're really have got to start getting all eyes that this is a coaching issue. And I think the conversation from there has got to boil down to, is this a Philip Montgomery and staff issue, or is this a Hugh Freeze issue, or is this sort of a, and I mean, a lot of these are going to lead to Hugh Freeze, but a little bit of everybody, but then, you know, the ball stops with Hugh Freeze being the top, and he's still got to do something about it. The conversations are around right now, is Hugh Freeze focusing a little too much on recruiting, playing the futures game, and riding this year off? I'm going to talk about that a little bit later in another episode we got planned out for this week. But I want to kind of put that teaser out there because it's being talked about a lot. It's being talked about enough to where it's just something that can't necessarily be ignored. And as more details will come out, I'm sure answers for that will start to get there. But you got to fight for the team, the roster you have. Because what's going to happen if you don't, these guys are going to leave. And then you've got to do, you can't, even if you get the best number one recruiting class, you're not going to win a team with a bunch of true freshmen. That's not going to help 2024. And really, man, I mean, it'll help 2025 when their sophomores are redshirt freshmen. Like that class is a big futures play. So really what it's going to look like is you get one or two options. You've either got to win in the portal again, and that's a dice roll because we thought pretty good about the portal class thus far. And offensively, minus some nice line additions, it hadn't been great. It's been better, but it hadn't been great. And they're not using them to their best abilities either. So then you get there and say, well, there goes that. You fight for the guys you got because it's some of the guys that are on this team that could potentially develop. I mean, look at Jay Fair from last year to this year. Now, I think if we had a game plan more surrounded about getting in the ball, could feel a lot better about him. But it's one of those guys like, what is happening right now that's convincing guys that could build from year over year to come back next year, that will have another year under their belt, that will know the system, know the staff, know that whatever they're trying to run, or are they just completely fine with the complacency of, hey, we're going to have to turn everything over. We're getting our guys. Maybe there is a big picture plan, but I think the issue you run there is that is a thin ice. That is that is, you're trying to shoot the wings off of a fly from 50 feet away doing that. It's a very, very high risk play. And obviously it can have high reward, but we know what the downsides of it can look like as well. And each time they have performances like this, it just gets me more and more iffy of like, all right. And that's what kind of what it was with Harsin. It was like, can he turn it around? And each milestone he got to, he just kind of moved the goalpost further and further away from where he needed to be. And like or dislike Hugh Freeze as much as you want, you can't defend that performances like this are doing any favors, and you can't act like this year doesn't matter. People are invested and want to see games. No one wants to hire a coach and just say, hey, we're playing for the future. We're completely wrapping this year up. Do something different. And the deal with the quarterbacks, I'm taking back my take on this of just why I was original, and I had been very critical on Thorne, as I should have been and would still be at this point. But as I kind of look back at a little bit and what the issue is with Thorne or Robbie, I don't think it's going to matter. Because, I mean, really, all things considered, they played about the same. Now, Thorne had a little flash in garbage time where Ole Miss is playing prevent, and who knows if they've got some, you know, if they got some of their second string guys in there. I wasn't paying enough of attention to the roster pieces of Ole Miss to say that. I couldn't exactly see what all defensive, how many guys are stacking the box, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, they were trying to keep them from scoring, obviously, but they're trying to manage the game as well and just get out of there with a win, which they did. So it got a little bit more passing opportunities, but also they called Peyton Thorne's number to do it. And shocker, he got in a little bit of a rhythm. He started hitting some guys and things started happening. And it sits there and makes you wonder, all right, well, if that's their 2-minute offense, why not run that earlier? Why not get some guys in rhythm with the quarterback and the receivers, tight ends? And I think there's a tweet that was going around at some point in the second half where they said they have not attempted a pass in the whatever minute mark of whatever quarter. I mean, it had at least been a quarter plus since that had happened in multiple possessions on Auburn where they just kept running and running and running, or doing, I guess, the RPO and the quarterback would tuck it and run, which was effective for little chips here and there. But once again, not effective enough to have a sustainable drive. And being a pass-heavy guy in Hugh Freeze's past, it makes you just wonder what is going on, which goes back to the question here of, is this a Freeze thing? Or is this a Montgomery thing? Or is this to stay, everybody doesn't know what is going on here? I mean, I think even Hugh Freeze says, I don't even know where to start with this. So maybe, just maybe, we're going to have to get out of the recruiting lounge and spend a little bit more time as to what's going on now, because maybe the new house you're building is going to be nice, but the one you're living in right now is on fire. And Hugh Freeze makes too much money to be complacent with everything like just burning down in front of him. Historically bad. This is worse than 2012. The problems that have been happening have been plagued. Hugh Freeze says, we're not really changing much. We're going to keep rolling with what we're doing. And he kept his promise. And that's not a good promise to keep. Why in the world they're not just burning this thing down and just doing what Cadillac did last year in a week to come up with a better game plan is beyond me. At least I hate to say it this way, just at least make it look pretty. If we're going to lose, just make it more competitive than this. I believe the passing numbers, and it looks a little bit better because, like I said, it was padded up at garbage time. But before those last two drives in the last 3 minutes of the fourth quarter, like, I think Peyton, he was 9 for 13, and I believe he completed 7 or 8 of those passes just in those two drives. So before that, you've got two quarterbacks that have less than 5%. There's 5%, 5 passing attempts each, I believe. I'd have to go double check the play-by-play. I just kind of did a quick skim of that. So, but I believe that's what it was leading at in the middle of the fourth quarter. Great. And I don't get it. It would be one thing if we're 8 of 26 passing and just nothing's getting there. And then either quarterbacks aren't hitting it, or they're just getting interceptions, or receivers are dropping the ball constantly. But that's not happening. They weren't even trying to pass it. And you just cannot be that one-dimensional. And, I mean, it was easy to figure out. I mean, the little trick play they tried to do with Holden was just horrific. I mean, that was the easiest. I mean, you had guys screaming out what was happening. I mean, you watched the replay of that. I mean, it was just a shark in water, just torpedoed, nailed the guy. So I don't see where the logic is in this and why the things offensively. And I'm not blaming the players, because, I mean, I think that it's just, you don't want to have a game plan around Peyton. They don't want to necessarily have a game plan around Robbie. I don't understand what's going on, because they're both playing about the same, but I don't think it's because one is necessarily better than another in the system. It was just the system is set up so much right now for both quarterbacks to fail. I don't really think it matters who you give a chance to, because the thing is Peyton is effective with his legs because they're thinking he's going to be the guy that can pass, and Robbie can be effective with his arm because they're thinking he's going to be the guy that throws. So they know Robbie's going to throw it, so they're just really prepared for that. Even last year, people, oh, Robbie didn't pass. Well, he still got 140 yards in the air last year against Ole Miss, so he passed the ball enough to do that. He went 3 for 4 of 22, and he had another one that would have got called back for a very questionable penalty. That was probably the best, though, he had of the night, and would have been for first down. And the refs, especially first half of that game, were pretty happy with that flag. So you let him get into a rhythm, they can actually do the thing. And one thing I will say I was happy about is after Robbie threw his interception, we'll talk about that real quick, they did put him back in the game for the next series. So at least it wasn't the message of, oh, you screwed up, you're out. Hey, we believe in you, get it back there and do it. Short-term memory, I think that's good for a guy's psyche to do that. So I will give him some props there. Now that the play calling after that series meant a whole lot, did a whole lot. I believe they went 3 and out. I have to double-check that. But it still was erratic as it ever was. And I, like I said, I'm at this point, I'm going to kind of defend both of them here just because it's a no-win scenario for anybody for whatever this game planning is. And as far as Robbie's interception goes and Peyton's as well, I mean, he was actually getting good blocking from the line, to give them credit. He had time, throws a deep ball, double coverage. Javaris Johnson slipped, pushed, maybe a little of both. Fell on the ball. Maybe had he been able to jump it up, it doesn't get intercepted. I don't know if it necessarily gets caught, but maybe he contested enough in the air, or does he draw a pass interference play, which as physical as that was, could have been very close. So it kind of stinks that he did do that. I mean, if you look at the freeze frame there, I mean, before the ball is within any distance of the deep Ole Miss DBs, Javaris Johnson's on the ground. Like I said, I think he slipped and maybe he was pushed a little bit into that. Could it have been called? Maybe, maybe not. Don't want to get into that side of it. Was it a great throw for Robbie to make? Probably not. And then you could say the same thing for Thorne's interception, which in hindsight probably should have been overturned. It looked very questionable. But same kind of deal there. It was a play, trying to make it, throw it in a double coverage. Both were probably not equally great decisions. And why I'm going to defend both of these for both quarterbacks is they're not calling my number to throw. We're trying to win this game. Peyton and Robbie both want to win that game. They're going to do everything they can to do it. And I don't blame them for just saying, hey, we need to do something. We need to make a play. We need to throw it more than 4 or 5 yards. Just anything to get a spark going on offense. And also, they're trying to play to get their minutes. So I don't blame Robbie for saying, well, they're going to pull me regardless. So might as well try to make a play and do something for myself. What do I have to lose at this point? The same deal for Peyton Thorne. I'm not getting consistent minutes in here. Nobody believes in me. If I get a touchdown here, I'm a hero. We might just win this game. So both quarterbacks just trying to make a play. And they've gotten such few opportunities to do that. Are they going to try to make a more questionable play than had they otherwise if their numbers had been called a little bit more to throw the ball? Maybe, maybe not. Hadn't talked to them. Wasn't on the sideline. Don't know what the game plan was. Not at practice. Just throwing out an opinion of what could have been at play for those, and not blame them for it. Somebody had to do something. And just many, many of those third down calls that were just runs up them. I mean, the crowd was booing numerous times in that game when it was just third and whatever, and they would just hand it to Jarquez to fall forward for a yard or two, or sometimes fall back. So, as I said, didn't rewatch the game. Haven't seen any of the specifics in this. Wanted to just kind of break this down real raw, kind of how we saw it. Fans are definitely starting to turn a little bit. They're definitely upset at a lot of things, and don't blame them. And it's nice to see for a change that it doesn't seem that the players are getting a lot of this, because I think there had been a little bit of time where they were getting a little bit too much of the blame unfairly. Got to chalk this one up to coaching, and hopefully they ask some tough questions of the presser coming up. And as I mentioned in the Crossroads episode, the issue with this game was going to be it was more the same. And I thought Auburn's offense was going to do a little bit better than this and at least get into the high 20s. They didn't. It was about a touchdown off for each team. And had it not been for a nice garbage time drive, this would have felt a lot worse than it, you know, one score game sounds a lot better than losing by 14 again, which they did last year. So we'll see what they end up turning this around to do. Is it going to be the easiest stretch of the schedule SEC-wise? Hopefully this team stays checked in and they can beat Mississippi State at home. And then they really do have a point where they could win four in a row. As long as this team doesn't give up and they don't feel discouraged by this, and maybe this bad level of play will, or this bad game planning or whatever they're trying to do, can look better when the competition gap is not so far in a bad direction for Auburn, and Auburn is the more just talented team, and they can just out athlete these other guys to victory. Because I don't see the coaching and game plan doing it, and that's how you beat better teams, is you scheme them and you execute them better. And well, I haven't done that this year. I mean, we'll see how it looks against Mississippi State. If it looks bad against Mississippi State, then I mean, at that point, I think you just got to chalk this season up as done and just hope and pray that with the big team reset and coach reset, portal reset, whatever they're going to do in this offseason. Because if it continues the way this is, I mean, Hugh Freeze's tenure at Auburn will be very short. If this whole game plan thing and this is what it is, and it's just, oh, well, we got to get the guys in there. Because, I mean, you know, the best quarterback and receivers in the world, if you don't dial up more passes than this, it's not there. Because the problem is Peyton Thorne has played far worse than he had at any numerous years times at Auburn or at Michigan State. And the bar was so low. If the fact that Robbie Ashford in there, it's looking worse than it was last year, and he's not able to even do what he did last year, injured with multiple years of development at Auburn, that's not a player problem at that point. The wide receivers aren't getting as many yards. That's a coaching problem. They're not even getting the chances to do that. The coaches and the game plan are actively making decisions to keep them out of it. So we'll see how the narratives develop on it. Like I said, this was the Raw episode. We're going to have a fuller recap episodes talking about everything throughout the week, and then we'll move on to a Mississippi State preview. So if Auburn can turn it around, this would be the week to do it. Get it right at Mississippi State. You win four games in a row. Maybe you got some of them to go to the Iron Bowl. You win out. You know what? No one's thinking about this then. Season starts to look a lot better. I want to thank you guys for checking out the show. We'll be back at you next time. Remember, check out the Auburn Daily on socials and the website. Check me out on Twitter at Auburn Memes. If you got anything, any thoughts, comments, if you're on YouTube, check it out there. And I want to thank you guys for listening, and tune in next time. You'll have a good rest of your day.